Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it. Usually this is where we like tease some sort of like weird like
the big
news story.
Oh, and the big news story today.
But nobody's been suspended miraculously since the last time that we talked. I don't think. Was it even re-suspended by the time we talked last week? I feel like she was.
Yeah, she was. Yeah, it happened so quick. I'm sure she was. That, yeah, 1, 2, 3.
I mean, now we just got hurt people. I guess Brock did technically get suspended from the state of Nevada, apparently. Nevada Athletic Commission.
Athletic Commission, whatever it is. Yeah.
They have temporarily suspended him, but the exact wording, at least on the Facebook newsfeed, which is all I read into it.
Sorry. That headline, like, all right.
Yeah.
You know what? If it's not going to affect WWE, which apparently it's not, because he's going to wrestle the exact same lighthearted schedule that he wrestles now.
Okay, that's a nice way to put it. Go ahead.
And it wasn't like he was going to be fighting at UFC 203 through 213.
Sure.
So I wasn't going to – it's not – I'm not losing out on any of that.
They just have to have it, you know, in a different state, which they do that now.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, that doesn't really affect me.
Sure.
Sorry to take the oomph out of your power, Nevada.
Right. So uppity and high and mighty, that state. Desert people, I don't know. So we are in the middle.
Piss off the Nevadians.
Yeah, are they real? They're not real. I've never been there. I'm not convinced it's a real place. So we're in the midst of still a very busy wrestling week.
I have no qualms admitting I have not watched all the wrestling I was supposed to watch at this point.
What are you talking about? What have you missed?
Buckets of it.
Have you missed SmackDown?
I saw
Cliff Notes.
In chunks of SmackDown.
Okay.
Like, there was a lot of like,
That's fair. That's
like,
fair.
The belt unveilings, I was like, I'm just Googling a picture of these belts.
Sure.
I do not need
sure.
all of this information right now.
Especially when you've seen those belts before, but with different
yes.
colors. We'll get to it.
We'll get to the belts. We'll get to the belts.
Yeah, we're actually recording this on Wednesday. So, I mean, NXT is mostly stuff that recorded before TakeOver last Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing really like earth-shattering going on there. And Cruiserweight's Cruiserweight, and Joel's behind on that anyway. So I'm going to keep like, you're going to have to get caught up before the finals.
I think there'll be a binge-watching session. Because okay. That's the thing. Is like you talked about with Lucha Underground, where like I have... You know, the nice thing about mm-hmm. Cruiserweight is it feels very bingeable.
Sure. I'm trying to think. Labor Day, like, just binge watch fest?
Might be.
Because I will go back and rewatch this stuff.
Might be. That might be a good thing. Might be a good call.
Yeah. Hey, me and you, we'll act like friends and watch stuff like friends.
Mm-hmm.
And not only talk on this podcast and don't talk to each other at all the rest of the week.
No. Of course not.
So clearly, like, the highlight of all this would be Saturday.
Yeah, I was like, even with all the stuff that I know I've missed, there's a bucket to talk about.
Yeah,
so
you have not missed the best of it.
Yeah, we have to. So Saturday was NXT TakeOver, Brooklyn 2.
Yep.
Fantastic show all around.
Absolutely.
It's kind of a weird thing where, like, I feel like the NXT shows have kind of plateaued. And they've not gone down any.
Sure. I mean, high plateau.
I don't mean plateau as an insult.
No, you mean plateau of, like, they've taken it to the max and stayed there.
Yeah, exactly. I have no complaints.
Sure.
It was for a while, it was like, how do they top it? Oh, they topped it!
Right.
How do they top it? Even they topped it again.
Even when they go to, like, bigger venues, like last year with Brooklyn, like, how do they top this show? And then they go back to Full Sail, mm-hmm. and then they have the Iron Man match, and I was like, that was incredible. Like,
yeah.
Somehow they found a way to... if not top it, match it, at
mm-hmm.
least, at a smaller venue, and that's impressive.
That is very impressive. I feel we've gotten to the point where we're not sitting at every TakeOver being like, they've topped them all.
Sure.
But they've definitely...
But they've definitely...
They're comparable to them all. Like
sure, but they've definitely given us moments where we just stop and
yeah.
just full concentration on this moment,
mm-hmm.
you know, which we can very much say SummerSlam did not do. I mean, there was some moments here and there, but...
Yeah.
For the most part, those moments probably not for the good reasons,
mm-hmm.
but with TakeOver, like, there was just a lot of moments in the show where, you know, I had some non-wrestling fans there, and even they, like, just, you know, because we pretty much just talked about, you know, the entire show, but there was moments where we just stopped mid-sentence and just forgot what we were talking about and paid attention to whatever was going on until whatever was going on was done.
Yeah.
You know, and that's rare for, you know, ADHD people like, like ourselves.
Yeah, I think it was just a flat-out, wall-to-wall incredible show.
Mm-hmm.
Not a bad match on the card.
No, I mean, not necessarily. I mean,
there were obviously highs and lows.
Sure. I mean, even, you know, the one quote-unquote, or one or two quote-unquote, you know, insignificant matches, you know, meaning the ones that weren't for titles, still had a interesting element to it. Like, the opening match was our first real look at No Way Jose on an extended level.
Because yeah.
Usually we got short, silly matches.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw that he does have a serious side to him, and it's entertaining, and he's, you know, good in the ring, and he can sell intensity.
Yeah.
Which is not easy to do for a comedy act.
Oh, yeah. He was great. Austin Aries was weirdly fantastic in
that. Oh, yeah.
Like, because I think it felt like, okay, so he is having to go through the, all right, somebody's got to fight the comedy act.
Right.
And you drew the short straw this time.
Sure.
And I kind of felt like, I thought he was going to be fine. I thought he was going to be really good. He's Austin Aries. There's no question about that.
Right.
But there was something that he brought to that match that was really, I was really impressed with that.
Right.
Especially because the match was so much a showcase of Noah Jose's going to really wrestle and
right.
go back, you know, have a back and forth and a, you know, here's his in-ring talent for real. But to see what Austin Aries did with that match was incredible.
Yeah, it's like they both really challenged each other to raise the intensity stakes for both of them.
Yeah.
Because easily, you know, the intensity could have been all one-sided with, you know, No Way Jose kind of like feeling like he has to overcompensate considering mm-hmm. he's a comedy act. But this one, it felt like they're both really – honestly, it's what the it's what Dean and Ziggler's match on SummerSlam should have been.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
Yeah.
Because you've got a – not necessarily a heel, but a guy acting in heelish tendencies who's overconfident and is doubtful of his opponent and his opponent's ability to win. And you have, you know, that the opponent, the face, who is just ready to prove everybody wrong,
mm-hmm.
you know? And there just wasn't that sense of urgency. There wasn't that, you know, I mean, you had before the match, you know, Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon holding the two apart. And they're just chomping at the bit.
Right.
The bell rings, and they circle each other. Ziggler on SmackDown every week.
Right.
So they went in there with far less build up and executed to what felt right.
Yeah. No,
so, I mean, that's something that I, you know, obviously give both guys high praise for. And like you said, Austin Aries was just, you know, beyond what we would expect.
Mm-hmm.
Which is saying a lot considering we usually expect pretty highly of them.
Yeah.
But then after that, I believe it was the Ember Moon debut.
Mm-hmm. Ember Moon didn't wow me, but I had no complaints about it. I mean,
the biggest thing that wowed me was her finisher. I really dug that.
Okay, yeah.
That spinning Stone Cold Stunner
mm-hmm.
off the I believe it was the top turnbuckle.
I mean, it was your traditional, like, you know, fight on debut, so you
sure.
win the thing. I've never been super impressed with those, save for Asuka.
Right. Yeah.
And I guess Nakamura, since I guess his was
one of the best matches of the year.
Was the Sami Zayn win, which
right.
was technically, but that one feels different.
That one was contested.
That one, like,
it wasn't just a squash match or anything. And I wouldn't really go as far to say that Ember Moon was a squash.
It wasn't
match.
A squash match, but it was a display case of talent match,
right.
which is different than a back and forth match.
Right. It's kind of more of a, I don't want to say spot fest, but it's kind of more of that look. It's a showcase of, hey, here's all the incredible stuff that this person can do.
It's something you do when you debut a new person.
Sure.
And a person's debut match should obviously not be their first match. It should be the welcome mat to their career.
Sure.
And so, yeah, you want a nice welcome mat, but, you know, the house is what you're really there for.
Yes.
So, and that's the thing. Is like, so, it, no complaints. I'm excited to see what she'll do in the future, but there's not a whole lot to, like, wow and ooh and ah over right now.
Sure. Also, just to backtrack a little bit, it's always impressive to see Hideo. Well, it's impressive to see Hideo Itami go in the ring, do what he does without socks and wearing loafers. And he hits a GTS.
He did.
First time he did it on WWE TV.
Yeah.
and they managed to do it without mentioning CM Punk. I mean, I'm not surprised by that.
It's been long enough.
It's been long enough.
That's why they injured him, to give that window right there.
Oh, right. That's the whole – it was all part of the plan. And I honestly, like, just talking about Hideo, like, I really think that shows the path he's come from since he debuted in NXT. You know, I saw, like, a lot more charisma out of him after he hit that GTS, you know, right. Going to the crowd, getting really pumped up. I'm not saying, like, he was, just a stiff there in the ring beforehand, but I see a lot more of him emoting.
Mm-hmm.
And he's come a long way. And honestly, that year might have done him some good. Like, might have, you know, been able to learn more English, work more on his promos, work more on, you know, emoting.
Yeah.
And because, I mean, in ring, he's good. He's covered in the ring. I think that's pretty safe assumption.
Oh, yeah.
But moving on beyond that, I believe it's the tag team championship.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which it was, you know, I really enjoyed it. And we talked last week about Revival and
yeah.
how they're just really good at getting a negative.
They are.
Even though, like, the NXT smarky crowd knows how good they are and they appreciate how good they are,
mm-hmm.
they still find a way to get the smarks yeah. to boo them.
I will say, like I said a lot of, not negative, but, like, less than positive things about Revival.
I would say pretty, like, meh about
it. Cautionary, I guess.
Maybe.
And I still stand by all of that, because sure. all of that is speculation mm-hmm. towards what they could do in the future.
Sure.
But no, they're really good. Like,
yeah. I did notice it was a funny thing during the course of that match. Our non-wrestling friend John and his wife Lex were there, and John was getting really annoyed at all of the interruptions. And he was like, "Why? How is that not disqualified? Like, the guy wasn't even tagged in, and he's attacking the guy." And I'm like, "That's tag team wrestling, man. Like, we're so used to it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, your partner's about to get pinned.
So you jump in the ring.
So you jump in the ring, and mm-hmm. you know, nothing's stopping you. You're not knocked out or anything. You jump in. You and apparently non wrestling fans who have seen UFC events mm-hmm. don't understand that. But then again, there's no tag team in UFC, so I don't know why I brought that up."
I'm anyway. Waiting for it, UFC. Tag Team UFC.
That you have to go tornado tag on that. There's no
I'm
there's
waiting
no
for that.
Corners. There's no way to get out of the ring.
8-way tag match. They're all in a corner.
Jeez. That's bedlam.
No, that'd be a mess.
Yeah. It was an interesting I thought it was interesting how they lingered on Gargano and Ciampa after the fact. Which either made me feel like somebody was turning on the other, or mm-hmm. this is them saying goodbye, or what? Or it might even just like plant the seed of a potential one-on-one breakup. Because I would love to see an actual build between those two. So knowing that they can have the match at Cruiserweight Classic, now I'm interested to see them, if they're going to ever go up against each other, I would like to see a build-up leading to a takeover.
Yeah.
Between those
well,
two.
Something between them is obviously worthy of a takeover. Just
yes.
the concept of it.
Yes. And, like, I feel like now that we saw, at least I saw, the Cruiserweight Classic match, I'm now itching for it, you
yeah.
know? Gargano plays a great center, mm-hmm. you know? He's not a, you know, clearly he's not a big guy, but for some reason, his strikes, his impact is so incredible.
Yeah.
So I think they would have great chemistry. Well, obviously they have great chemistry with each other mm-hmm. in the ring against each other, so I'm waiting for that.
Yeah. Next is Glorious.
Glorious might actually be before that. We might have actually skipped over it.
How could you have skipped over Glorious?
I won't give in. No, I won't give in. Okay. Yeah, like, that entrance.
That's an entrance.
Yeah. I have no words. The fact he gave a little head nod when he got to the ring, just, mm-hmm. and then called his finisher the Glorious Bomb
yeah.
after, like, the hashtag and everything went off. I everything about it I loved. It was just further proof that they need to change up something with Andrade Cien Almas. Shorten up the name, get rid of the suspenders and the tearaway pants.
That was the guy we saw at NXT Live, right?
Yeah.
We're like, cause he
But he didn't have a hat and
No, he didn't have ring entrance music.
Like, yeah, we had very generic
Yeah, he didn't. I think he didn't have the video.
I believe they just had his name. I think at that time they just called him Andrade Almas.
Yeah,
I think.
And I said it then. I was like, if they will change his name to something better,
yeah,
this guy will be their next star.
Yeah.
And like, they're not doing it. And
no, it's like when they debuted Apollo Crews.
Yeah.
Great athlete, amazing in the ring. We saw from the beginning, like, they need to work on something with him, and they have yet to do that.
I'm very unrealistically invested in this guy because I want him to be like rock level, so I can be like, I saw that guy.
No Way Jose before he.
We did see No Way Jose before he signed.
Well, it was two. We saw him before he signed. Mm-hmm. That's the important thing. I believe,
but
I can't remember what his old name used to be.
I didn't sit there and be like, that No Way Jose guy, he's going to make it. I didn't say that. I was like, oh, he's good. And he's impressive. And
I was like, yeah, that I was just sitting there watching. I was like, all right, this guy's a good, he was a heel at the time, waving, I think it was a Cuban flag around.
Yeah.
On a Christmas show. And I think he was yelling at Santa. And I was like, this guy.
Like, he's goofy and I enjoy him.
Sure.
But I wasn't ready to plant that flag.
Until we saw him in person. I think it was 2 weeks before his TV debut.
Yeah.
And instantly we're like, nope, I'm in. Yeah. So we can claim that.
We can.
We'll always have that.
But I made a special claim.
Well, sure, because when we saw him in that match, it was against – that night it was against Austin Aries.
Yeah.
And it was an incredible match.
It was shocking. That was like their second match of the night. I was like, that should not be that a second match.
Yeah. And I think like a couple days later, they actually had him cleanly beat Nakamura at a house show.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that's a risky thing to do, because mm-hmm. if he did it that night, we might have been...
I might have accidentally booed.
We might have had a riot. So, I don't... They need to do something with his name. They need to do something with his gimmick. I don't like the double knee thing.
Yeah.
Mainly, I don't like him slapping his legs to get the crowd into it.
Mm-hmm.
Anything where you have to, like, come on, crowd, do something... tends to turn me off.
You want him to no.
Right, yeah, it's like when Randy used to, like, look at the crowd and, like, you know, wave his arms up to try to get everybody on their feet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I really don't like that. I really don't. So, again, great wrestler, love his work. I just hate all the stuff around that.
Yeah, and I know that. And yeah. So that's why I'm like, I want him to fix it. I don't want... Because I can see him getting buried by it, and I just had to be like...
Right. And it was also weird how he wasn't really on NXT until the show the week before, and then Bobby Roode came out and was like, well, I want to face you.
In all honesty, this was another, you know, just vanity match to, like, sure. Bobby Roode's here.
And they were probably like, the fans will probably get mad if we feed another debuting star, if we feed Ty Dillinger to another debuting star.
Yeah.
Especially because fans are really getting behind Ty Dillinger, and he hasn't been on NXT in, like, a month.
So, yeah, that's why... I mean, that's the thing. Is like, again, it wasn't an amazing match because it was just a showcase match.
Sure.
But I want great things with that dude. I think
sure.
he has the potential for greatness.
Absolutely.
We'll see. That's what NXT is there for. We'll see.
And again, like, this is also, I believe, his, like, first time really working without a mask.
Yeah.
He's gone his entire career with a mask, and... You know, you might not think it's a big deal, but it is.
It absolutely is.
It absolutely is. It's something that Del Rio had to overcome as well,
mm-hmm.
Which some would say he still hasn't. Great in-ring worker. Just terrible, terrible character.
Now we go to title matches.
Yeah, now we'll go to the Women's Championship, Asuka versus Bayley. Personally, I like their Dallas match. I believe it was Dallas. Yeah. I like their Dallas match a little bit better.
It might be because, like, there was, like, you know, a little hint and teaser, like, this is Bayley's send-off match.
Sure, yeah.
Throughout, like, and we're all saying, like, it should be Bayley's send-off match because, you know, this makes sense and time-wise and she needs to be going up and it would make sense and this would be a perfect time to do it, da-da-da. But they never were, like, you know, there was no, like, the loser leaves and exit, you know, there was no... There was no comment on this should be her send-off match until about, like, 10 minutes into the match. We're like, yeah. This is a send-off. This is a goodbye. This is a thing. Yeah. And then
it was confirmed by the end of it.
And then watching that match, and because they had the buildup of, like, she was – they are last Brooklyn, and she's the remaining of the four horsewomen, and she's like this last thing, and there's this little bit of Bayley's career in NXT and what all that's been, and all this is starting to like flood in, and like her having the 30-minute Iron Man, and like just, and it's like, oh, and I'm getting emotional into this match.
Yeah.
I ended up having more of an emotional reaction to this match than the main event.
Because of that reason.
Yeah, and because it was a great match. Sure. I would not berate somebody to say that it was the match of the night.
Right.
Like, yeah, I gotta go at the end, but I would. But if you wanted to go with the women's title, I think you got a solid argument, and I can't fight you on it.
Yeah. And again, like, for that reason, yeah, I agree with you. But I mean, still, like, as far as my cup of tea, I don't know, something with the TakeOver Dallas match clicked with me more.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, like I said, like you said, if somebody like this one more, I can't really talk anyone down from that.
Yeah.
But moving on to the main event.
Match of the night, match of the weekend.
It's not a match of the year. It's in the top four for me.
Yeah. It'll be one that gets rewatched at the end when it comes time to decide.
It's definitely in... I keep saying top this, top that. Right now, there's like a three-way tie for me that I'm having a really hard time deciphering which one's which.
Yeah.
And that's Nakamura Zayn, Nakamura Joe, and Ibushi and Cedric Alexander.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. I don't know which one beats out what. But, man, it was a good match. Great, like, just atmosphere. You had the entrance, which was incredible. Might have been, like, the best moment of the night, almost.
Yeah.
And then you had two guys who we expected to, an incredible match, and then met that expectation and kind of went above that.
Mm-hmm.
And the ending makes me curious about what's happening. What's going to happen next? Whether Joe... Cause, you know, apparently Joe's got a legitimate, like, dislocated jaw.
Yeah.
I don't know how long it takes to recover from that. It's not a typical injury we see that we kind of know a usual time frame.
Yeah.
If he's going to have some sort of rematch, if it's going to be on a takeover, or if it's going to be in a few weeks on NXT since the takeovers are kind of spaced out. A lot of people were speculating beforehand, and somehow even more so afterwards, that Joe was going to get moved up very soon.
Right.
But I don't know, because typically NXT likes to do the whole rematch thing.
Mm-hmm.
They like, which I love, because WWE tends to just ignore that sometimes.
Yeah.
But
no, I am very appreciative of the rematch thing, even if it's just to go ahead and blow it off so we can get that rule out of the way.
Sure.
I'm very appreciative of the rematch.
Absolutely. You know, and it may not happen on TakeOver, but like I said, it will take place on NXT TV, which gives you a reason
to watch
the show.
Because the matches on the show count.
God, they advertise it like a week ahead. Now, granted, they do pre-tape all this stuff, so they kind of already know what's going to happen, but that kind of helps. So, I don't know. I honestly, I've tried not to read too much into what's going to happen next and just enjoy the match, enjoy the moment.
That's fair.
Especially because it was a great moment.
It was.
And I feel, I feel like I'm trying to like really reach to be like, it was this thing and that thing, but I would just be like, that was great and that was great and that was great. Like, just, I don't know what else to say.
It was top to bottom.
Yeah.
Everything that a main event of a show should be.
It gave the audience more to walk away with after 2.5 hours than SummerSlam did in
and
6.
And then SummerSlam happened.
Right. And here's the thing. A lot of people were like, well, maybe, like, you know, there was probably a lot of crossover as far as audience, as far as, like, these people were at NXT all, you know, the night before, now they're at SummerSlam, maybe they're a little worn out. I was like, nah, I don't really feel like it's – I don't feel like it was TakeOver that's wore them out. I feel like it was the show itself.
Yeah, it was –
because it was kind of a – it was – kind of like a mental cartwheel.
This is another perfect time to really bring up the concept of how long your show should be.
Yes.
And
what is too long?
Yes, especially if we talk about. I mean, you can argue that wrestling shows have intermissions, with the whole that you have some time between matches.
Sure.
excuse me. But there's not necessarily any downtime in a wrestling match.
Right, and you don't necessarily need downtime. I feel like NXT is showing you you don't really need downtime. You don't need filler matches. That's the biggest thing NXT is showing.
Well, then the thing is, like, if you put this match in, like, oh, that's the intermission. Yeah, we have people fighting, and they're really that's just crapping on that.
But NXT doesn't do that. They, like, these matches are not for titles. So but that
when
goes
you,
first.
When you sit down and you decide, you know, okay, we are putting on this physical, this time amount of product, you need to think, like, how long does somebody want to sit in a seat or stand? Because theoretically, you want them standing, you know, for cheering purposes. But at best, they're going to be sitting in that seat watching this for X number of hours. And when you choose six as that number, that's just I can't be excited about.
Especially with the pre-show, where the crowd kind of gets all worked up for a match. And then there's at least a half hour, 40-minute intermission in between the next match.
Yeah.
And then you expect the crowd to kind of get up again. And then after, I believe, 2 hours of that, then you have the crowd, like, really have to get up for the start of the show and be ready for, like, the pyro and everything.
Yeah.
And then the crowd knows that there's at least four, if not more, hours to go.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like, I still believe, you know.
I won't say that NXT, because there was a lot of crossover crowd, and I won't say NXT wore them out.
No, I'm not.
But I will say NXT drew a very unfavorable, you know, comparison to, oh, or you could have this kind of show.
Right.
Quicker, cleaner, more efficient, better show.
Sure.
Or you can drag it out and have a lot of, okay.
And honestly, even if they did want to have a show that long, I still think, you know, good matches and decent booking beats out everything.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
If you have, like, 4 hours of good matches, and I'm not saying every match has to be great because that will wear anybody out.
I want to ask a question.
Okay.
Because I honestly don't know the answer to this. But what is the longest show that I could find on the network or, you know, anywhere? Who can send me the longest show where the whole show is solidly booked, is an ideal booking?
Right.
Because I don't have that. There's no thing where I'm like, top, like, WrestleMania 30 is the closest thing I can think of.
Yeah.
And some of that is some okay booking that resulted in a good match and is surrounded by amazing matches, which elevated that okay match.
Right.
Because
I just because I'm on the spot and I haven't really thought about
it. Oh, no.
But I mean, I'm just thinking solely on WrestleMania 30. Only real downside or down spots I can really think of is the Shield match that was super short. But it wasn't bad. But it was super short.
But there was so much apathy of, like, the Shield's got to fight freaking those guys.
Right. And then there was the 14 Diva 1 pinfall Vicky Guerrero Invitational.
Which again was bad on principle.
Sure.
Was a poor booking idea. But came out okay. Like, it wasn't amazing, but...
And it also had the unfortunate luck of following the biggest surprise in wrestling history.
Right.
And a match that was kind of exhausting to watch because, you know, it was, you know, because, we pretty much got a record that Undertaker just wasn't really feeling that match, mostly because he was concussed. And then that led to Brock having to carry the rest of the match, and we've seen...
Brock is not a match carrier, let's say that.
You carry a lot of things on those giant arms, but a match is not one of them.
We don't need to go through every match in SummerSlam, I feel.
No, please.
But
no.
Hitting a couple of the highlights, Dean and Ziggler should have been better.
Yeah.
It's Dean and Ziggler. Yeah.
And like I said, there should have been a different level of intensity in that match that match did not have.
If I had all the action figures, those would be the one with the most paint scratched off because I would be having them fight each other.
Sure. And I mean, I don't even care about what how it ended or who won or whatever. I'm just, the match itself should have had more juice behind it.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, I don't want to just be another guy harping on the order of matches, but the women's championship should not have been gone on second. Like, I know it's loaded with a lot of championship match and they were trying to, like, space all that out.
Mm-hmm. I understand a lot of people complained about the United States going on after the Universal and the WWE Champion.
Right.
I didn't mind that because it went on when it's, which is clearly the bathroom break rest match.
Yeah.
Between a championship match
and it wasn't even a match.
Right. So like, I don't mind that. A lot of people complain about that, but I'm not gonna bother with that one. But I'm sorry, your WWE title is more prestigious than your Universal title.
Right.
It just, it flat out is. It has history. It is the big title. You can't be like, all right, this one counts now more. Okay.
Sure. And that brings us to the, up until Tuesday night, the biggest story in that we've all been talking about, and that is the Universal Championship itself. Now,
not the match.
Not the match. Because the match was good.
Yes.
The match was completely fine. I love both guys, and they both put on a great match. But the belt itself, it was the confirmation of what we had suspected this entire time, and that was, this was kind of a last-minute thing. We're just kind of piecing this together. Hey, we're telling you it's important, so it should be important to you. Love it now, please.
Yeah.
And then you get a, I'm trying to think of PG adjectives, a just half effort.
Mm-hmm.
Or excuse me, a copied effort, I should say, and just changed the color of the belt itself.
There's a very distinct difference in the gesture of, this is our main championship, and here's our main women's championship, and they are more, for all intents and purposes, identical.
Yes. And that concept I can get behind.
That is a very... a very well thought out, concentrated effort to say, this is equal to this.
Right.
We should be treating this
equally.
Equal to this. They deserve the same title, essentially.
It's just enough of a difference to know that it is a different title.
Exactly. The doing it for, you know, for the Universal.
On a whim, essentially.
Reeks of laziness.
Yes. And honestly, it probably may not have been so bad if they hadn't just introduced this women's championship in April. You know, it feels like a little extra. Like, a little bit of me was like, and kind of feels lazy, but it looks good, and I love the symbolism behind it, like you had just said. This one, there is no symbolism other than it lacks forethought.
Yeah.
It just was, hey, that looks fine to me. Let's slap it on there.
So, and now that you have your four big titles with the SmackDown edition, you have four titles that are the identical designs except for in color.
Yes.
I'm sorry. They are now going to be ranked, you know, merely by what color that design looks best on.
Yeah.
There is no like, okay, well, that I don't really care for this, but, you know, I like the fact that the Eagles there are like, I'm not a big fan of the spinner, but I do like that scratch logo being like, you can argue qualities and negatives of every other belt design, but this one is like, I like, it's that color, works best for that, everything else is apart.
And that's, you know, and that's why I really heavily disagreed with people who are focusing on just telling everyone to shut up and enjoy the match.
Okay, here's the thing. Red leather sucks.
Yeah.
As a visual aesthetic, it is garish, it is...
And it's also, it's also hard to say.
It is eye-catching in the wrong way.
Yeah.
It is eye-capturing. I don't know what the right alternative is, but it...
And because I don't have the image of it in front of me, isn't the background with the W also red?
I think so.
That just clashes.
So, and it got a... Well, I don't know what the chant was specifically, but it's like, that belt sucks, or something to
red
that effect.
Red belt sucks, or... Some, the fans were fixating on the belt.
On the belt.
Which caused the entire Holy Family to get pissed.
And there there were a lot of comments about that, you know, you should not be focusing on this belt. You should be focused on the match at hand. I get the principle behind that.
Right.
I get the thought process of that. And I do not want to take anything away from the match. It was a fine match.
Right.
But it was not Finn Balor's best match ever. It was not Seth Rollins' best match ever.
Sure.
Barring injury for either one of these guys, it will not be the best Finn Balor-Seth Rollins match of all time.
Right.
It was a good match. It was not a showstopper match. It was not an amazing match. And you are not just presenting this match in a vacuum.
Yeah.
You are presenting a product of its whole,
of WWE. It's an entire, it's entire wrapped package.
Of the WWE as a full product.
Sure.
And I am a consumer of this full product.
Right.
And if somebody had chanted that butterfly sucks long enough and hard enough, we might not have had to have that whole Divas Belt Revolution thing.
Right. They would have taken care of it a long time ago.
Yeah. We have had crappy belts, and we have had belts that were
meaningless.
Yes. We've had this, and while I disagree with the concept of we should have two equal but separate heavyweight titles on separate shows.
Sure.
Because you'll always have one bigger when they share WrestleMania. That's just how that'll happen.
Sure.
But if you were going to do that, I want you to put your whole heart into it, mm-hmm. make it as successful as possible.
Right.
There's a little bit of an additional sting because there's this added feel of we don't even have to try with the Raw belt. It's the Raw belt, which sure. makes it bigger.
Because the entire buildup was, I want the belt, no, I want the belt, and that's it. There was no... And again, that's kind of a difficult thing to do when you're introducing a new championship. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, respecting a belt comes over time. And that's why I agree to an extent of what Seth said on Twitter. Not the part where he said Brooklyn let him down, because that's the part, no. WWE let
Brooklyn down.
Exactly. And Brooklyn was just letting the company know it.
Mm-hmm.
But he said that a championship is more about its appearance, and I agree with him absolutely on that. Here's the thing, there was nothing behind that belt.
Right, yeah, that title means nothing.
It lacked, like I said, it lacked forethought, it lacked effort, and it lacked meaning.
I mean, yeah, I now can bestow the, mm-hmm. you know, classy ring attire belt on Sami Zayn because that guy should have a belt. And it, you know.
Sure.
So
it means about as much as that cardboard belt that was on World Culture Wrestling.
Yeah.
And some would say that might have meant a little bit more. Because I think they destroyed it on the show, and people were booing like crazy.
Mm-hmm. And so we have talked – we've had several conversations on this podcast.
Yes.
And with several of our guests about – what your role is
a crowd.
As a crowd.
Sure.
What you're responsible for, what is good crowd etiquette, bad crowd etiquette.
And typically, I'm usually the one of like, all right, just calm down, shut up, enjoy the match. You know, that's typically my position. So it might be viewed a little bit hypocritical of me to now say that none of the fans were in the right. But clearly, it's a case-by-case basis.
It is a case-by-case basis.
This one, I felt like the crowd was fully within their right to react like that.
This is a situation where, and again, it is just, it's name too, because the name's dumb, but it is belt, design, and name. It is go back and try again.
Yes. We have an opportunity with that. I mean, it's a bad opportunity with Finn getting injured.
Yes.
But the belt is not beholden to anybody right now. They'll be perfect. But then again, they're going to crown a new one in a week from now.
Yeah.
So, if this is what they came up with in a month, I'd hate to see what they came up with in a week. we would get a cardboard belt.
Other things to mention.
John Cena and AJ
Styles. Cena and AJ had the match of the night.
Absolutely, by far. Not saying that the second to that would be probably the women's championship match.
Mm-hmm.
But AJ and Cena, it's one of those things where I'm watching this and I'm like, this is so good. I wish I had a time machine so I can see this 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Or a couple years ago. I am not saying like it was bad now. It's not.
This was the – it's like when TNA had Hogan versus Ric Flair.
Sure.
And it's not that bad because that is the extreme awful. Like, hey, WrestleMania 8, right, you guys? It's a tiny little – you know, mini version of that.
Sure.
But this was the match I felt like I was promised when they had that let's go see an AJ Styles chant.
Sure.
2 months ago, 3 months ago now?
Sure. And maybe that's part of why we like this match so much. Like, that's why it had more meaning to it, I guess.
It's what I was waiting for. I didn't hate the beat-up John Cena stuff. I didn't hate the club stuff. It was fine. It was fun, entertaining.
Because I liked it. but it added an element of their personality that they hadn't been able to show or put on display before that.
But it had to end with a one-on-one between these two guys, and it did, and AJ won clean.
Right.
Which has interesting ramifications.
Right, because now AJ is using that like Paul Heyman after Lesnar beat the streak.
Right.
You know, and as he should, this is a big wave of momentum for him, and it's put him in the upper echelon of the company. And I feel like that needs to be where he stays. And it's just we gave AJ all the credibility in the world that he rightfully deserves. Now the casual viewer, you know, also has a chance to do the same. And I felt like that was the main purpose behind that match. And credit to Cena, credit to AJ. That was an incredible match.
It was.
And I would not be sad if they ever did it again whenever John Cena comes back from shooting whatever. Season 2 of his reality show.
Yeah.
We need to talk about that tag team. Tag team championship match.
Okay. We did?
That ending was awful. And I love John Stewart, but his involvement was also awful.
Yeah.
It just... I would have liked, because I have a feeling we're going to get their more serious match at their next pay-per-view. Yeah. But I feel like, you know, it is still the championship match. Why are these two guys going to pause to, you know, punish Jon Stewart for getting in the ring?
Yeah.
Like, sure, punish him or, like, get him out of there or something. But then you wait for him to tuck in his shirt. Which, fine, I get that. It was an alright joke, but it wasn't a great joke.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was a joke that landed with a lot of people. And so whenever he went to do a spot where he tucked in his shirt, I felt like a lot of people missed it.
The point you're trying to say is they should...
I felt like...
If we're going to, especially because later that night we had a very frank Twitter discussion about the championship, you know, is more than the design and you need to respect the
championship. And this all happened before the championship.
But if we're going to sit here and say... You should respect a championship because it's a championship.
Yes.
And you should respect a championship match because it's a championship match.
Right.
That has a little bit more gravitas that doesn't lend itself to...
And it just felt... I
even when it's being held by comedy characters, when they're comedy characters...
But it's comedy characters who have shown that they can have a serious, you know, a serious side to them as well.
Right. But fair argument.
Sure. I just... I don't know. In the I, you know, I love the Big E... You know, coming back.
Return, yeah.
I would have rathered... Honestly, okay, let's put it this way. I would have rathered all that happened post-match.
Okay.
Then it makes sense. Then, you know, let's say, you know, obviously New Day would get the win somehow. Probably in some sort of, not necessarily like bad way, but maybe like a roll-up or something.
Mm-hmm.
Something to anger the club.
So they can still go on a beatdown.
So they go beat down New Day. John Stewart, in like just a rush of adrenaline or whatever, then comes in the ring to offer his help because he's an honorary member of New Day for tonight. And then as soon as he gets in the ring, the guys look at him. He instantly knows it was a mistake, tucks in his shirt, then do the Big E thing. It's way better.
It's a long way of saying you want the shenanigans to be separate from the match.
Yeah.
When it's a title match.
Right. Especially on a pay-per-view.
Yeah. All right.
I feel like that moment alone is what... killed a lot of the energy, to be honest with you.
It didn't.
Because it was also right after the Cena match.
Yeah.
This is what they followed up the Cena match with.
It didn't bug me like it bugged you, sure. But the fact that... But part of that is because I didn't care that much, which is an issue in all into itself.
Exactly.
So, all right, fair enough.
Trying to think of what else...
Brock and Randy.
Yeah, because we don't need to talk about Roman and Rusev at all.
No, that thing happened. Some other things happened. Brock and Randy. He got hit in the head with an elbow.
Well, before that, it was kind of a boring match, wasn't it? Like, it had high spots and it had table spots, sure. But the fact that we were bored at that point is kind of saying a lot.
So
it felt very 7th hour of WrestleMania 32-y.
Well, again, we've only had two of these, like, what if a show was 6 hours or 7 hours?
Sure.
Basically, WrestleMania and SummerSlam, where, like, what if the show was... comically long.
Right.
When you have work in the morning.
Yeah.
And
half of your guests have gone home because they are not staying up to watch this BS.
Work in the morning.
Yeah.
So that last match, and both times the, like, big, you gotta see this match, has been something that, like, I haven't been that invested in.
Sure.
Like, yeah, this wasn't as bad as WrestleMania was, like, a specific, avid, like, I don't want to see this
because
match.
We were going into it knowing, like, we were not going to like this.
But
this, and then they confirmed that.
Yeah, this match still had that feeling. It wasn't as bad, but it's like, yeah, I don't really care to see this.
But it's got that Brock Lesnar aspect where you're like, well, I'm curious to see what they do with it.
Well, but so much of it was built around, like, Randy's the only one left. He beat Taker. He beat Cena. He beat Triple H. Like, that top-tier guy.
It felt like they were really reaching for a reason why these two were fighting out of the blue. Because there was no, like, they just kind of announced it. It's like, this is what's going
to
happen
at
SummerSlam.
It felt like, all right, we got to make that check mark next to Randy's name so we can go down. Because it's like, eventually Brock will fight The Rock or Goldberg or somebody. And it's like, the list of people that Brock beat. And you can do, you know, Cena, Triple H, Undertaker. You want Randy on that list, so you need to do that.
Yeah.
I think that if that was the planned finish, which it turns out that was the planned finish.
Right.
That was a bad plan finish.
That's why Chris Jericho was not happy at Gorilla, apparently.
Nothing about it, like, it didn't feel scary. It didn't feel exciting, which I get that there's like, oh, let's make it feel like they went too far. Let's make it feel like he's really hurt. And you want to lean on that, you know, fourth wall kayfabe a little bit. But
at the end, it's just a big dude, like, really beating down a guy who's already bloodied and down.
Yeah.
You know? Like, UFC would have called that match, like, 10 minutes ago.
Well, Brock doesn't come out looking strong. Brock comes out looking clumsy.
Yeah.
Randy doesn't come out looking strong. Randy comes out looking, if anything, you know, weak and vulnerable.
Right.
And there's a lot of little tweaks you could have done to make this work. Like, you know, even if there was a planned match, then yeah, Randy needs to, if you're going to have that much blood come out of a guy's head, and they might not have planned for that much blood, but once you have that much blood, just smear it on your face.
Yeah.
It's there, the blood's coming out of your head, and Randy's the crazy one.
Sure.
He's supposed to, and he hasn't done anything crazy in years.
The last time...
And that's because we're PG, and I get that, and he can't punt a lady in the head. And I don't want to be like, he needs to do it or I don't believe in the crazy voices anymore. But he hasn't done anything other than remind us he's the crazy one by saying, remember, I'm the crazy one.
Yeah. And this isn't the first time Brock has done this type of a spot. You remember his very first program with Cena when he came back.
Mm-hmm.
They had that, they you know, on Raw, they got into it. And Brock did the exact same thing, caught him with the top of the head with the elbow.
Yeah.
And same thing, Cena opened up. But Cena also had a level of intensity where they had the entire roster come out and separate him. John Cena had blood pouring all over him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was exciting. But you just had, you know, Randy just laying there.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, at least kind of pump up or, you know, do something, make it interesting. But that's the finish. That's...
No, way to
end
your...
Like Jericho apparently said, that's BS.
Way to end your big show just on a whimper.
Yeah, like, that's a really weird note to end what's supposed to be, like, the party of the summer.
Yeah.
It's always been their tagline. And that's a weird party that I'm not going to go back to. Like, that's the one where I'm instantly looking for where my keys are.
Yeah. Moving on to Raw and SmackDown, just a few highlights. Finn was injured during the Seth Rollins match.
Yeah, it was another... It was that same type of move that Seth does in the turnbuckle, but he did it on the floor on the barricade, and it dislocated Finn's shoulder, which he was able to pop back in.
Finn's going to be out for 6 months.
Right.
Which just sucks.
Sucks, but he'll be back by the time they start building up for, like, when they get into full swing with WrestleMania, which I really hope he's going to be able to make that time frame. If he comes back right after WrestleMania, I kind of feel for the guy.
Yeah.
Like, I really would like to see his entrance in a big WrestleMania type setting.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm a little worried because we won't have... He needs to get back and remind the crowd when to raise their arms. Like, I feel like we're still working on that as a crowd.
The crowd did a lot better at...
They did better, but they're not... I mean, and I one side of me is like, they'll never be to NXT level.
Sure.
But the other side of me hears them say the certified G thing. I'm like, they can do it. The Raw crowd can get there. They could.
Sure. I feel, I'm still blaming Corpus Christi for, like, when he first came out as a demon, which I still feel like it was a mistake to do that on Raw for no reason, really. Corpus Christi did not know what to do there. Your in the no crowd at Brooklyn had a much better grasp on it.
Yeah.
I feel like, because usually they hit up the big cities leading up to WrestleMania.
Right.
So I feel like we'll be okay.
All right.
At least I really hope so. I don't think you're going to hit up the Mohegan Sun that leading up to WrestleMania.
We also had title match or title reveals of the women's title and the tag team
title. The SmackDown women's title and the SmackDown tag.
Are they like going to be called that?
Yeah.
Gross.
Right.
Gross.
Like, I don't know what else to call them.
For all the crap with the Divas division, at least we had a women's title and a Divas title. Like, different titles.
And I love... And,
different
you know,
title lineages.
Right. And I don't know if anyone's really asking this question, but, maybe there's somebody out there like, well, how come you're not making a big stink about these titles? Because, again, same design, different colors. That's just because we're so beaten up over it. Like, it's just like, what's the point of even getting worked up over this?
Also... Red leather's gross.
True.
It doesn't look good.
I will say. And I will say the blue and silver tag team championships looks a billion times better than the actual tag team championships.
The penny looking
things? The penny looking ones.
Yes.
This one looked like dimes.
The reason that Nakamura wears that god-awful red leather get-up is because...
Because it's a jacket.
Well, no.
And it's not a belt.
But that color on that fabric looks eye-catching. And
sure.
It's not a pretty elegant thing. It's the reason that, Eddie Murphy wore it in that stand-up special.
Ooh, yeah.
It's because I can't stop looking at this thing.
Right. It's kind of a obnoxious look at me kind of thing.
It is.
You're right.
Which you don't want on your title.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I will say that both of those titles looked better. Even though that's the same. Even though that
it's the same idea.
Now, calling them SmackDown Women's title, stupid, because it's not going to be the Raw Women's title. It's the Women's title and the SmackDown Women's title.
Right, so that immediately puts them on a level below.
Yeah.
Same with the SmackDown tag. Titles.
Same with SmackDown Live. It's not Raw Live. We just all expect Raw to be live.
Sure.
SmackDown, yeah, they are tripping at the start line and then slipping on a banana peel trying to stand up at the start line.
Yeah, and I don't know how I feel about... Because I'm guessing they don't really want to do two tournaments going on at the same time. Because they've got a tournament going on for the tag team, SmackDown Tag Team Championships. And then at whatever the SmackDown
Backlash,
they're going to have a six-pack challenge. It's apparently six-way, just doesn't sound all right. But that's what it is.
But four-way is fine.
But you get to say fatal four-way. I don't know what you would say with a sexual six-pack. I don't know.
Sinister six-way.
Sinister six-way. That sounds... I know.
Yeah, because fatal four-way is like,
sure.
Solid PG right there.
Right. That's the reason why they don't say three-way. They just say triple threat.
Yeah.
Because it's... When you say three-way, everyone automatically probably starts singing Lonely Island in their head. Yeah. I mean, I like tournaments, especially ones that happen over time. Like, I also love, like, one night, fight multiple times title, but those shows aren't long enough for that. So I like the whole multi-week thing. I like that Heath Slater has found a tag team partner with Rhino. And I kind of hope they go pretty far, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I would honestly, like, because you heard how... Like, when Heath Slater came out of the crowd during the opening segment of SmackDown this week, crowd went nuts. And again, they're in a casino. Like, they're at the Mohegan Sun. Like, they weren't even in New York anymore. And I loved how into the match the crowd was.
Yeah.
Or into Heath they were. And if they keep this up, like the if they have him and Rhino go really far in the tournament, the crowd's going to be eating this up like crazy.
I mean, Heath is just the new Damian Mizdow.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
Like, he's the you know,
I'm not saying
gimmick the guy's given 128% to.
Sure. I'm not holding my breath. I'm not expecting him to win next week.
Yeah.
You know, Rhino might win the match for them, but I also see, like, Heath Slater just kind of, you know, makes a kayfabe dumb mistake and costs them the match or something.
Yeah. I can see that.
So, well, I don't know. But I liked it either way. All
right. Anything else that we need to address from Raw or SmackDown?
There's something we need to talk about after SmackDown.
Yes. So, Holy Foley has premiered. They've had the first 5 episodes. I've only seen 1 episode so far.
Joel,
have you seen Holy Foley yet?
No, I have not.
Okay, so the first episode it opens up with...
You're waiting for me to stop you? I'm not. I want to see how long you keep this going. Go ahead.
Okay, so Holy Foley...
Have you legitimately watched this?
Yeah, it's obviously very similar.
You haven't watched weeks and weeks of Cruiserweight Classic, but you watched Holy Foley?
It's just the first episode. I mean, I wanted to get a feel for the show. I've seen the first Cruiserweight Classic. Sure.
What was your feel of the show then for Holy Foley?
I mean, it's a reality. It's a family reality show.
Heavily scripted.
It's Chrisley Knows Best or Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
But Foley style.
But Foley. And I like Foley better, so it's a better show. I mean,
okay.
Like, yeah, I'll stand on that dumb mountain.
this joke that I ruined.
The biggest thing is, you know, Mick Foley's a funny dude. Like, he gets how you set up a joke. And,
sure.
I mean, and it's goofy dad humor, but he gets the basic setup, which, mm-hmm. you know, nobody on the Kardashian show's funny. The
no.
show's trying to be funny with a nudge and a wink, mm-hmm. but the people, and then this is, no, he's funny. He's enjoyable to watch. He says goofy things in his talking heads.
Right.
Like, yeah, so it's fine and goofy and funny. Frank the Clown's there, not much, fortunately.
Oh, man, that is going to really inflate that dude's ego.
So, yeah. So, after SmackDown...
Yes, that's what we were going for, and Joel was waiting for me to interrupt and cause some sort of joke or thing, but I just let him go. But yeah, go on.
Check out Holy Foley, whatever.
All right, fine.
It's not bad.
I mean, I probably won't, but go on. But talking Smack, that's the big thing that everybody's been talking about since
did a thing on Talking Smack.
Well, Daniel Bryan kind of started. And again, this is probably all work.
This is all work.
Sure.
And it's...
But it started with Daniel Bryan.
I hesitate to be like, this is Mrs. Pipe Bomb. Because,
then again,
first of all, you don't want to like draw like comparisons to the Pipe Bomb and drop in a hat. But I do think it was...
But it was kind of on that in that same vein, where it's like, it was probably a work. At least he was given talking points, and then he just kind of went to a different level with it that he normally doesn't go to.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, there has been people who watch Talking Smack, you know, consistently. I haven't not.
I didn't know I was supposed to, like.
Me neither. But apparently, like, Daniel Bryan's on there, like, pretty much every week, him and
right.
Ray Young. And there's a lot of times where Daniel Bryan is just talking about whatever he wants to talk about with SmackDown, and usually it's not necessarily like a company thing or something he was told to talk about or something he was told to hype mm-hmm. or anything. It's usually just his thoughts and his actual feelings on it. So that might have played a role in the planning of this segment.
Right.
But it started with Daniel Bryan basically saying to Miz, I think you fight like a coward.
Yeah.
And, you know, Miz kind of started with like the whole like company guy thing. Like, the Miz we all know,
mm-hmm.
you know, he likes to be obnoxious, he likes to be a heel, but he's never going to step outside of anything that would make the company look bad, you know?
Yeah.
Or really step out of character at all.
So, if you watch the whole episode, mm-hmm. which is not necessary, the Miz stuff comes at the end, but if you watch the whole episode, there's a part at the beginning where Nikki has joined them. And is talking about
and it kind of break yeah it breaks down with her and Carmella
yeah Carmella yeah. attacks her and they kind of fight.
That's why I like that Carmella turned heel.
And so because of that, we have that like, oh, something happened unexpected and we don't know how to recover from this. And you see Renee doing that then, mm-hmm. and you see Renee doing that after The Miz. Right. And there's subtle but very much there differences to Renee's reactions.
Sure.
Which gives you a hint of like, oh, this is... Not that this was unplanned, not that this was a shoot, but buttons were genuinely pushed.
Sure.
And so the setup for Talking Smack is it's this weird blend of kayfabe and actual
reality
talking yeah. about this stuff behind the scenes peak.
Right.
And it's not always found its best footing.
Sure.
Because that can be a very awkward line to walk and right. I get how you're going to stumble a lot.
It's not a line that you're going to really be able to walk every week.
No.
There's going to be some weeks you're just like, there's not really a whole lot to talk about.
So, but part of this is you wonder what the genuine relationship between Daniel Bryan and Miz is.
Sure.
Because they've had a weirdly, you know, it's been weirdly long how long these guys have been
connected in some fashion. Yeah.
Starting with NXT. This whole issue of Miz being the pro and Daniel Bryan being considered the rookie.
And Daniel Bryan basically disrespecting Miz from day one.
Mm-hmm.
He's basically saying, there's nothing from you I can or want to learn.
Yeah. And you kind of wonder, like, okay, so how much of that was real? And then there's stuff in, up through their careers, and there's kind of, like, weaving back and forth. Yeah. They're touching similar titles, but not really... facing each other.
Right.
There's the tough enough stuff where, you know, they're talking.
Well, they're interacting, but they were never, like, really aimed at each other.
Right.
And if they did make any sort of depth, it was very lighthearted.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So, but you wonder what the actual feeling, what Daniel Bryan's actual feelings towards Miz are, and Miz towards yeah. Daniel Bryan. So, a couple of things to hit on. Mm-hmm. One, this is going to do wonders for Talking Smack.
Oh, yeah. No, like, everyone's going to want to tune in, for better or worse.
WWE has not figured out the concept of how to do a wrestling pre-show or a wrestling post-show recap show.
Right.
We're able to see, you know, we're able to have 4 or 5 hour pre-shows for football games.
Sure.
And then they want that, and I get that they want that. And there's just that's for some reason, that's where people's line seems to be yeah. like,
and as I'm sitting there thinking, I was like, yeah, I watch those pre-football shows. I'm sitting there thinking of why I do that, and I don't know. But, I really don't.
But you won't do it for wrestling. Because that's where the line is.
Because I mean, I very much don't really care about what Michael Strahan or Terry Bradshaw have to say about anything.
Yeah.
And I don't think I really care about a panel that's really just made to, hey, if you haven't bought the network or you haven't bought this pay-per-view, you'll want to do so now. Here's our last effort.
Because
mm-hmm. that's what the kickoff shows are, with right. occasional matches that don't really mean a whole lot.
But while we're all sitting here, you know, ready to be like, all right, and now these matches are real, and we're all going to be cool with that lie.
Right.
Go. For some reason, when they add the pre-show, you're like, this is silly, and I don't buy it.
Right. But as soon as the main show starts,
I don't know why that's the line, but that's clearly the line. As soon as
right.
as soon as it's let's have a talking panel about it. Nope, you're all liars and fakers.
I think it's more of like a hey, we know we don't really need you talking about it. We'd mm-hmm. rather we just see it.
Yeah,
maybe that's what it is.
But
talking about it seems silly, which is really funny that we're doing that on a podcast.
But I mean, whatever the reason here, they have not figured out. This is the first time, like, talking, like, oh, there is a nice, weird, interesting blend that I was like, I want to mm-hmm. see what – if I am not fully filled after SmackDown next week.
Right.
And even if I am, there's – okay, Talking Smack is all of a sudden an interesting thing that I want to check out what they did there.
Right.
So that's the first thing that Miz did. Miz did wonders for Talking Smack.
Sure.
I'll say
it's kind of easy to forget that Miz has been doing this for, I believe it was 13 years now.
Yeah.
You know, and he's doing it because he is a huge wrestling fan.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, you know, us, the wrestling fans, tend to get behind one of our own once we know that they're one of our own. And he yeah. has made no bones about it since his real world days mm-hmm. that he is one of us, essentially.
I have always been pretty much in the tank for Miz. Not
as
always.
As much as Trash Ring Attire wants to... kind of use that as a negative mark on you.
They
but
have.
You wear it confidently, probably, and that I commend you for.
I mean,
as much as I don't really agree with you sometimes.
I always go back to the thing is every wrestling fan has that moment where they're watching wrestling in their life and they're like, I am going to be a WWE wrestler.
Sure.
I'm gonna do it. That's me going to be me. And, oh, there's potato chips?
And you never
mind.
But Miz is one of the guys.
Miz is the one that did it.
And he did it.
Miz did it. And I'm like, you know what? Good for him.
Right.
And it's your buddy on the couch stood up and you're like, all right, solid job. And no, Miz is not.
I don't know. Maybe that works more for a face. And we've seen Miz as a face and it doesn't
Miz does not work as a face.
It doesn't work. Yeah. So maybe that's the difference. I don't know.
Miz is not the best worker. Miz is not
right.
And I don't know what it is, and I think what it is is that there is not very much talent there, and he has gotten to where he is through sheer force of training and developing skill. There's no natural wrestling talent on him.
Basically sticking around long enough and kind of keeping, you know, keeping your head down and keep going.
Yeah, nose to the grindstone, is that what you're looking for?
Nose to the grindstone, that's right. Like, he just kind of kept grinding through and, you know, taking whatever creative or the company gives him and does his absolute best. Sometimes it works, sometimes it falls flat on his face, like his face run.
Yeah.
And, you know, you gotta commend someone like that. And again, like, doesn't have anywhere near the best, you know, moveset, but he's kind of has a point, like, working safe. He's like, well, yeah, I want to do this for a long time. Like, mm-hmm. That was a great point. It's honestly a point I never even thought of.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, Blair mentioned a thing that I'm going to go ahead and address. Blair, trash the ring attire, Blair.
Yeah.
Because he'll make me address it sooner or later.
Sure.
Where he's like, why would I want 10 plus years of crappy matches?
Right.
When I could have 3 years of great matches, Daniel Bryan's career.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be a fool to be like, let's legitimately compare Daniel Bryan and Miz and see who comes out on top.
Yeah.
Because no, that's a dumb way to make this argument.
Just on the WWE scale, like 3 years of Daniel Bryan's work massively massively shadows anything that Miz has done.
Yes. And I get where Miz is coming from.
It's one of those things where it's just like they probably had this discussion before
mm-hmm.
in a more civil way, and it was kind of probably just like an agree to disagree. Like, they both love the business and are passionate, but they have different ways of showing it.
Yeah.
Miz wants to show it by just being out there for the fans as long as he possibly can, and Bryan's like, I want to put on the absolute best match I can no matter what the outcome is.
One thing to talk about is I don't think Miz has ever hurt anybody, has he?
He's forgotten to catch a few people.
But have they been out?
I don't think so.
I mean, because people definitely make mistakes.
Oh, but sure. But it seemed like there was a point in time a few years ago where it kind of seemed to happen to him.
Let's also point out that, you know, Ryback, the famous guy for, you know, ruining other guys, saved Kalisto's life in his last match. Yeah. I think it was Kalisto, wasn't it?
It was.
There's that terrible flip, and he caught him and turned it into a bump.
Right, and it could have ended it really badly for Kalisto. I remember. Mm-hmm. I don't remember exactly what the spot was, but I do remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. And this thing is, like, earlier this podcast, we talked about, like, Seth Rollins has a move that put Finn Balor on the shelf for 6 months and was the same move that ended Sting's career.
Right.
At what point do you have to be like, can't use that move?
Right.
I mean, and that sucks because that's a great move.
Sure.
And
I feel like you can kind of like put like a special circumstances, like it usually does it on the ring post.
It usually is
fine for everybody else. He was fighting an older wrestler who's probably more injury prone just on sheer age, which is, you know, completely normal.
Yeah, I'm not even
and
calling.
The thing with Finn Balor was done on the outside and he kind of like his arm got and got caught.
Yeah. I'm not Wouldn't calling for if, the end of that move.
Sure.
I'm just, and because you know what? There are flukes. And
sure.
There are, you know, one in a million missed opportunities. There's 100 different things
right.
in this business. I think Miz has a solid point, though, with and maybe he shouldn't have said wrestle like a coward so much. Like,
sure.
And again, but at the same time, he was keeping it, you know, 20% kayfabe, and he can't be like, I wrestle safe because you're supposed to hurt your opponent.
Right.
But
Yeah, they were both kind of skinning at the same thing, but using very different verbiage. And honestly, when it comes to on the mic, Miz is going to run laps probably around Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, he is.
Daniel Bryan, and again, like, Daniel Bryan, he's just a plain-spoken kind of guy. Usually, like, when he is feeling something, he's just going to tell you what it is, not get, you know, too complicated with it, which is fine. It works absolutely for him. But when mm-hmm. it comes to that, and you're getting an argument with a guy who can run laps around you on a mic,
yeah,
he's going to get the best of you, and that's kind of what Miz did.
And I don't – yeah.
I felt like if – honestly, if Daniel Bryan was at least maybe a 20% better talker, that argument would have had – it would have been more contested, I would have said.
There was this feeling of, oh, geez, he's not stopping. He's not – just he's already dead. Stop right. hitting him.
Yeah. And Miz really was laying it on.
And it was obviously something that, like, has been pent up for Miz for a long time. Not only the wrestling thing, but right. the fact that
not necessarily aimed at Daniel Bryan, but just aimed at all the naysayers of Miz his entire career.
Yeah.
And this is the only time we've ever seen him finally, like, just let out all of that anger he's clearly felt towards people saying mm-hmm. that about him.
And part of it is, like, it's a shame that happened on Talking Smack. Like,
yeah.
You could have had that on the show, and you would have had...
But, like, we've already established, like, Miz is good or for better or worse is the ultimate professional. I don't know if he was in the ring. Would he have done that?
It depends on what his instructions were before going on camera.
Right.
It absolutely does.
Because you know, they probably just, like, here's your bullet points... cut loose.
And again, not to be like, you know, this was Miz's pipe bomb, but Miz needs a pipe bomb. Yeah. Like, CM Punk benefited from the pipe bomb in ways you can't even fathom now, right. like looking at the before and after there. But at the same time, he was, you know, he's an insanely talented wrestler, mm-hmm. and he can back it up with his ring work. What Miz has is his mouth and his microphone skills.
Right.
And his charisma, because he has some, like, Miz coming out as The Rock is one of the, you know, it's one of the things where, like, Miz was the third wheel in a John Cena versus The Rock talking feud.
Right.
And held his own.
Right.
Like, and that should be near impossible.
Right.
You know?
But somehow made a way to where he was. He kept himself relevant in that discussion.
Yeah.
Right.
He
made sure that nobody forgot about him. When that it really would have been incredibly easy for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm interested to see on what they do with this going forward, or if they even do anything with it, because there's plenty of, like, Cesaro, you know, semi shoot interviews on these post YouTube things or post show YouTube things, or whatever, and
which lead to. Nothing or yeah. best out of seven matches.
Right. So, it'll be interesting. Like, the fact that everyone's kind of going nuts about it, and it was on, like, the front page of WWE.com today. So was Cesaro when he did his yeah. thing at the draft, so I don't know.
We'll see. It's honestly, like...
It'll be interesting to see
it's a shame that
how the fans will react to it.
It's a shame that best match of the year promo, or best promo of the year mm-hmm. contender, is happening on Talking Smack.
This is where you really show... exactly how many people watch Talking Smack.
Yeah.
Because it's not enough to affect a crowd reaction next week.
No.
You know, they might re-air it on a main show, and then people can react to it from there. But it puts SmackDown in an interesting position.
The fact that I didn't watch it live and still got to watch it on the WWE Network means it wasn't a shoot.
Right, yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. The fact that they acknowledge it the next day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got one more thing to talk about before we wrap up.
Mm-hmm.
You want to explain this?
All right. So I saw a Reddit post on r/SquareCircle, and there was a gent on there. I don't have his name in front of me right now. That's probably something I should have looked up. Wanted to start a wrestling-themed fantasy football league. Basically,
fantasy wrestling?
Fantasy football. It's an actual football. NFL. ESPN. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a fantasy football league, but with wrestling fans from Squared Circle.
Got it. Okay.
That's where we are.
Okay.
All right. So I thought it would be interesting if we just kind of covered the progress of the season.
Okay.
And tonight was our draft, and we are under just class ring attire. Our icon is a GIF of Nakamura dancing because, of course. And let me go ahead and just run through my team real quick. This is what I first of all, it's a weird thing because me and you have been in fantasy football leagues together for a while now.
Yeah.
And we've on ESPN. He did something interesting with this. We have two starting quarterbacks.
Huh.
Interesting, right?
Yeah.
And the funny thing was, I was the first person to acknowledge, like, to realize this because I was kind of going back and seeing what positions I need to fill.
Uh-huh.
And so it was around the fifth-ish round, and there's 10 teams in this league.
Okay.
So you're going to have some pretty stacked teams because of it. So I made that comment thinking that maybe this is something that might change. You might change this rule later. And I didn't know if I wanted to go ahead and pick a good quarterback. Because
mm-hmm.
I already picked Carson Palmer. Put up great numbers. This is where we talk about football, guys. Hi.
That's it for the wrestling. I mean, yeah. So
if you're not into American football, we'll see you next week. But Carson Palmer, easily a number two candidate for MVP last year. Coming back, there's no reason to believe that he's going to slow down any. Has all the same weapons. There's no reason to show that any of them would slow down either. So he was my top quarterback pick. It wasn't my top pick, but around the fifth round, I asked like on the chat, like, hey, so we have two quarterbacks in that starting? And they're like, yeah, it looks like it. Cool. And I said this as it was my pick. I was like, hi, Ben Roethlisberger. You're mine because you have the best wide receiver in the league, and he's going to give you a lot of points. So I feel like that was a smart move for me.
We'll see.
I checked to make sure.
Yeah.
Of course, Roethlisberger has like an issue with injuries these past couple years.
Mm-hmm.
So I went ahead. I drafted a safe, you know, bench quarterback.
Okay.
Alex Smith from the Chiefs puts up decent numbers. Really, he's a good bye week option.
Yeah.
Or if somebody goes down an injury. My top pick was David Johnson from the Cardinals, standout rookie last year, split time and still put up big numbers. Now he's basically going to have the starting job all to himself. Catches, runs, great. He'll be all right. I got Doug Martin from the Tampa Bay Bucks. He put up huge numbers for me last year. Doug Baldwin from Seattle Seahawks, basically is their only really reliable option. So he's going to get the ball a lot. I can't remember this guy's for Alan Hearns from the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jaguars are going to be an interesting team to watch this year. Their wide receiving core is they were showing like they were pretty ridiculous last year as far as skill, and it seems like they've only gotten better.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be an interesting team to watch this year. I got LeSean McCoy as my flex. He catches, he runs, he does everything, so that'll be big. Tyler Eifert, big good, you know, good tight end. Arizona Cardinals defense, and the kicker from Seattle. I got Jimmy Graham as my backup tight end, which feels weird because he was like the league ultimate, like maybe behind Gronk, like the league ultimate tight end,
mm-hmm.
one of the best in the league, and now he was like not even in the top 10 for tight ends.
Yeah,
but it shows you just how much of a step off he had from last year when he got traded to the Seattle Seahawks. But that being said, New Orleans, the team Jimmy was on, got a better tight end in Colby Fleener, and I picked him up. Yeah. Now Drew Brees has a good option at tight end that he really relies on. So we'll see. So that's
there we go.
That's who my team is, or my team. We probably won't really have anything to talk about with them next week, but the week after, when we start to...
Well, we'll keep you updated in our standings.
Our standings, we can... I'll probably cut promos on whoever I'm facing, but it's a little too early for that. But that's my team. Hopefully you guys found that somewhat interesting, and Chris likes football.
All right, as always, you can follow us on Twitter at CRAttire, who we live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays.
And if you are...
Oh, and Tuesdays. We'll start doing Tuesdays, I guess, now.
Oh, yeah.
Forgot about that.
Right. Yes, no, the shows are equal, guys. They're equal. And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send that over to our email. That's classringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. Easy way easy way to keep the episode coming to you every single week. You give us a rating of
5 stars, like a well-oiled machine.
Or you can write a review. That kind of stuff really helps out the podcast as far as iTunes metrics go.
And if you're listening to us on InsidePulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
Also on Facebook, easy way to follow Chris, easy way to follow myself, and other kind of stuff that we're working on. Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Dollywood!